Here in 1 Kings chapter 2 is a very interesting story. I want to help you today. Here in 1 Kings 2, you have to, let me give you just a little background. King David is dead. Solomon was not the oldest son of King David, though. Adonijah was the oldest living son that David had, and Adonijah for years had been jockeying for position to take over as his dad got sicker and sicker. Matter of fact, he was actually ruling part of the kingdom at the death of King David. And Solomon saw this coming, but Bathsheba and Solomon had already gotten to David, and God said, no, I want to transfer the kingdom through Solomon, not through Adonijah. And David finally declares that Solomon was to be the next king. That didn't go over well with Adonijah. Imagine a little brother taking over the kingdom when it's supposed to be big brothers. So Adonijah tries to use Bathsheba. Adonijah has an evil plot to try to begin to pull the kingdom back his way. And he goes to Bathsheba and he said, look, I have a request for King Solomon. He will tell me no, but he's not going to tell his mama no. He loves you. He'll never tell you no. She said, say on. Tell me what you want. He said, I would like for Solomon to give me the, you'll see this term used, Abishag, the Shunammite. Abishag was that young virgin who was brought to David's feet in David's final days to lay on his feet to keep him warm at night. If you went back into the latter chapters of 2 Samuel, you'll find that story. And the Bible says that David knew her not. She was only there to keep him warm and to warm him in his dying days. Now listen, that was one of David's concubines, but she was still a virgin. He asked Bathsheba to get Solomon to give her to him. Adonijah tells her, the king won't tell you no. Now watch this. Bathsheba agrees to go to Solomon for Adonijah. She didn't think it was that bad of a request. She goes to Solomon and she stands before him. And the Bible says that, and we'll get into this later, but Solomon stands. He bows to his mother. He sits back down and calls for a chair to be placed next to his throne for his mother. And she is seated. She asks Solomon to allow her to ask him a question for Adonijah. And she said, I don't want you to tell me no, son. When mama says, I want to ask you something and don't want you to tell me no, that's pretty serious stuff. I had that talk with my mom. Years ago, she said, son, you're not only a preacher, but you're my son. She said, I'm going to ask you something and I don't want you to tell me no. She said, I want you to do my funeral. By the way, I didn't tell her no, and I obeyed my mama. I did her funeral. Bathsheba then begins to ask Solomon to give Abishag to Adonijah. All of the sudden, Solomon gets upset. She hadn't hardly gotten the words out of her mouth, and if you read the response here in verse number 22, and King Solomon answered and said unto his mother, and why dost thou ask Abishag of the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also, for he is mine elder brother, even for him, and for Abiathar the priest, and for Joab the son of Zariah. It doesn't sound like he was real excited about mama's request, does it? Solomon knew that Joab and Abiathar were behind this as well. You see, Solomon was seeing his mom being used for evil. She did not see it, but he did. He knew some things she did not know. Say, how did he know these things? Because David on his deathbed called Solomon to him. And he said, Solomon, I want you to notice something. Abiathar the priest, Joab, and Adonijah, I won't touch them, but they shouldn't die a natural death. He said, I don't want you just to have them killed, but when they mess up, don't let them live. Matter of fact, when it came to Joab, he said, let his mother die sonless. Wow. Solomon gets upset to the point where he didn't disobey his mom. He just had Adonijah killed. He didn't have to tell her no. He just said there's not going to be a yes answered because he's not going to live long enough to get through this. And he sends out a man named Benaiah and ends up having Adonijah killed because of the evil counsel that Abiathar and Joab had brought Adonijah in. These three were trying to pull the kingdom back under Adonijah. Solomon has a great love and great respect for his mother. This is the very same Bathsheba that David committed adultery with and had Uriah killed. This is the very same Bathsheba who the baby from that relationship died shortly after birth. Solomon was born after that. Solomon loved her. By the way, Solomon loved David deeply. Solomon loved David like few men loved their own father. But even though Solomon loved his mother so deeply, he also said, I'll protect her. I'll protect her. My wife and I said something to my dad a year ago this morning, Mother's Day. About 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, I had to call 911 and come get my mom. And she was not real happy with me. She said, well, that's a happy Mother's Day, isn't it? And she wasn't well. She didn't want to go to the hospital on Mother's Day. And she didn't like the fact that I was the one who picked up the phone and called. But I did it because I loved her. Because I was trying to protect her. Trying to help her. I wasn't mad at my mom for that, by the way. I understood. And she wasn't mad at me. Later. No, she wasn't. She knew I loved her. That's very similar to what Solomon was doing here with Bathsheba. He was not going to grant her request because her request was evil, but she didn't know she was going to be used as evil. Now, listen to this very carefully. He would have done anything for his mother, but he was going to keep her from a bad decision. She's a widow. She's a widow for the second time. Here's an older lady who's lost her husband and may not be thinking as clearly as she once did and honestly saw nothing wrong with a simple request, but Solomon was wise enough to see through why it was being asked. And Solomon would try to keep her from making a bad decision. God gives us several lessons here in this story that I want to help you with today. To you mamas, to you ladies, this is not a bash ladies day. I'm not that kind of preacher ever, just so you know. I believe in elevating a lady to the lofty position she has. I don't think that a lady ought to step down to try to be a brute beast like a man is. He said, well, a lady can do anything a man can. Not totally true. God didn't make you to be a man. He made you to be a lady. And that a lady is not a second-class citizen. She's not lower than the man. She was taken from his rib, from his side, not from his foot, to be stepped on. She's to be elevated and closest to his heart, not a slave. So, let me give you a few principles here, and we'll go eat lunch. Number one, Solomon treated his mom with respect. Solomon treated his mom with respect. Look at verse number 19. Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. Now watch this. And the king rose up to meet her. You have to understand, in those days, the king stood for nobody. He was the one to have be seated, and everybody else was to rise when he would walk in. When Mama came through the door, he got up and bowed himself unto her. Do you realize how big that is? He was the one that bowed to his mother. Mama didn't bow to the king. Now, she may have, out of respect, but he bowed to her and sat down on his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother, and she sat on his right hand. By the way, sitting on the right hand is the seat of honor. The highest in rank always sits to the left. And it goes down in order from there. But that seat on the right hand, by the way, isn't that where Jesus sits next to the throne of God at the right hand of the Father? It is a seat of honor. Solomon bowed to her, not she to him. He respected his mom. Please listen to this very carefully. And I will say this as respectfully and as carefully as I can. His mama wasn't a perfect lady. Solomon has a dead brother who was conceived in adultery. Everybody doing okay? Bathsheba's first husband was killed because of that adultery. She didn't have a perfect past. If you know the elements of the story that went into that, she wasn't always appropriate. She was seen bathing by the king. It wasn't just all innocent, just so you know. But Solomon loved his mom. Can I tell you something? Young people, your parents aren't perfect. But you ought to respect them. To those of us who are adults, we ought to love and respect our parents. Whether they're perfect or not, guess what? They're not. Josh, even your parents are not perfect. At least your father's not. Your mother's close, but your father's not. Can I tell you something? None of us are perfect. We're all sinners.
Yes, sir.
Maybe we ought to bury the hatchet of some things in our past and learn to respect our families. Doesn't mean you have to spend every waking moment with them, but we ought to respect them. They did give us life. Say, well, my wife has never met her biological dad. Not one time. But she respected him enough that we found him finally after 7 years and sent soul winners to him and got him saved. Still never met him. Not even sure if he's still alive. No contact at all in over 20 years. Zero. But can I tell you something? We respect her stepdad who raised her as her dad. My mother-in-law. I love my mother-in-law. She's a great lady. She gave me my wife. She's my mom. She's the only one that got left. Say, oh, the mother-in-law jokes. Yeah, we joke about it, but I love my mother-in-law. Can I tell you something? I texted my mother-in-law early this morning, wished her a happy Mother's Day. I knew I'd be the first one to tell her. Nobody else gets out of bed early enough. Well, wait a minute, and she's an hour behind us in time, so it's even earlier. Can I tell you something? I thank God for my mother-in-law. Is she perfect? Nope. Was my mother perfect? No. But I respect her. Went to her grave yesterday and put her favorite flowers on her grave yesterday. I drove by this morning and came to the office and pulled out her picture and just remembered her for a little while. I was doing real good till my wife texted me. She said something about my mom to me, and she's the only person to get tears out of my eyes because of that today. I sat there and cried like a baby for a few minutes. Now, wait a minute. I didn't say I didn't miss my mom. I respect her. I miss her. I miss talking to her every morning. But I got my dad, so I talk to him every morning, and we go to breakfast once a week and do many, many other things together. Solomon respected his mom. He had a seat placed next to the throne that was known as the king's mother's seat. Her seat was at the right hand of Solomon and placed at the highest of honor. We would look at Bathsheba as a fallen woman. But that was his mom. He respected her. Acts 7:55 and 56, don't turn there, talks about Stephen being stoned and he looked to heaven and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. He stood from the throne and was standing next to the Father. Romans 8:34, Ephesians 1:20 and Colossians 3:1 all talk about Jesus being seated at the right hand of the Father. Can I tell you something? That placement of being seated at the right hand is a very important thing. He respected his mother. Before you put your head on your pillow tonight, fellas, ladies, young people, maybe if your mama's still alive, you ought to make sure that she knows you love her and respect her. It doesn't mean you have to agree with everything. Did you know Solomon disagreed with his mother here, but he still respected her? So, Solomon treated his mom with respect. Maybe there's an adult person in this room, you just need to break down and say, I'm going to call my mom today and tell her I love her and I respect her. You say, I don't agree with my mom. Okay, you don't have to agree with her to respect her. Doesn't mean you're going to change what you believe because that you respect her. No, you respect her enough not to. But learn to respect your mom. Fellas, if you're married, your mother-in-law is just as much your mother as your mom is. I know all the jokes out there. But when you became one flesh, her family became your family. You better learn how to respect your mother-in-law. Now that is going to take grace, mercy, and the power of God. Not going there. I'm taking, my wife and I are going to take a week in June for our anniversary. Say, where are you going? I'm going to Minnesota. Say, what's there? Absolutely nothing. No, I'm going up to see my in-laws for our 32nd wedding anniversary. My wife said, you really do love your mother-in-law if you're going to spend your anniversary there. I said, I do. I love my mom. Number two, Solomon needed to protect his mom from being used for evil. Solomon needed to protect his mom from being used for evil. Adonijah was trying to take the kingdom but was afraid of Solomon. Look at 1 Kings chapter 1. Just back a page or so. Look at verse number 45. And all the guests that were with Adonijah were afraid and rose up and went every man his way. And Adonijah feared because of Solomon, arose and went and caught hold on the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, Behold, Adonijah feareth the king Solomon. For lo, he hath caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, Let King Solomon swear unto me this day that he will not slay his servant with the sword. And Solomon said, If he will show himself a worthy man, there shall not a hair of his hair of him fall to the earth. But if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar, and came and bowed himself to King Solomon. And Solomon said unto him, Go to thine house. It's an interesting term that he grabbed hold of the horns of the altar. The Bible talked about that. That was a place of safety, and someone could not be killed if they were holding on to the horns of the altar. Adonijah had risen up against Solomon, and he ran to the temple and grabbed a hold of the horns on the altar and said, Look, I'm not leaving here so that Solomon doesn't kill me. Make him promise that he won't kill me. And Solomon said, As long as you don't do wickedly, there won't be a hair of your head fall. But as you continue on in chapter 2, earlier in the chapter, you find out that he and Joab and Abiathar the priest, and don't read it now, but they connive to get Abishag as a way of trying to draw the kingdom back towards Adonijah. That was wickedness. That was in direct violation of King David. And King David said, Watch these guys, they're slick. Bathsheba had not heard that, but Solomon did. Bathsheba was not there for the admonition, but Solomon was. David warned Solomon about Joab. Look at chapter 2, verse number 5. Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, and what he did to two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner, the son of Ner, and under Amasa, the son of Jether, whom he slew and shed blood of war in peace, and put blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins and his shoes that were on him. Do therefore according to thy wisdom, let not his hoar head go down to the grave in peace. That's what David told Solomon. That's a pretty strong warning, isn't it? And I could go on and on. David knew that Joab and Abiathar were going to cause problems for Solomon, and he warned Solomon about these men. Adonijah asked for things that were not to be asked for because they were not right. Listen to this. These men knew that Solomon loved Bathsheba and was not going to tell him no if she asked him not to. They were deceiving her. They hoped that Solomon wouldn't tell her no and wouldn't go back on what his character had been. Listen to me very carefully here. You ladies who lose your husbands, you widows, you men who lose your wives, you widowers, you're vulnerable after you've lost your spouse. There are people that'll try to take you. Let somebody protect you. Everybody doing okay? And please don't take this the wrong way. Not always will it be one of your children, because sometimes they're one trying to take you. I hate to say that, but in our day and age, I've got to say that. Miss Wally didn't, her and Fred had no children. She had no living family. But before Fred passed away, years before Fred passed away, they both said, Look, we've got nobody but you, preacher. Would you help us? And I said, I'll take care of you. As Fred was nearing the end, I told Miss Wally, I said, Look, just need to come stay at my house for a while till we get through this, and you're sick, you're not as well as you think you are, and you're tired. Let us take you in. Good night. She's still living with me, and she can live there as long as she needs to. We got her feeling better. We got her house fixed up, cleaned up, sold, got her finances in order. Man, she's been gone as much this week as I have. She was out partying all day yesterday. She came home half drunk. I mean, she stumbled in late last night. Now, wait a minute. She's doing great. I can't tell you how many times she's put my hand in her hand and patted my hand. And she said, "Preacher, I don't know what I'd have done without you." When she wasn't able to make decisions, she just looked at me. I don't want that kind of power. It's humbling. But I'm glad she had somebody to lean on. And someday you need somebody that you can trust to lean on. When my mom was so bad sick, my dad was sick. And he told the doctors and nurses, "Just call my son. Don't call me, call him. He's got it. You let him make the decisions." I love my dad. I love my mom. I didn't make a decision without going to him. But he didn't want to make the decisions. He didn't want to hear the phone calls. So I was there to be the buffer, to help with those calls. I was the one that had to make the phone call to take her off the ventilator. But that's okay. Say, "Preacher, was it hard?" It's never easy. Not at all. But can I tell you something? I was the one that got to make the decision that it was okay for her to go to heaven. And she's doing fine right now. She's doing fine. Did I enjoy that? No. Anybody that has to make a lot of decisions doesn't enjoy some decisions. Miss Wally, you're going to laugh at this one. We had just had Fred's memorial service. And Wally wasn't real strong. She was wore slap out. And I just simply looked at her and I said, "Wally, I got to have a conversation with you I really don't want to have." She said, "What, preacher?" I said, "I really don't think you should be driving." She said, "Good, I don't want to drive." I said, "Okay, that wasn't so hard." I said, "Does that mean," I said, I'm not talking about just for a while. I'm talking about ever." She said, "I don't like driving. I get scared driving. I don't want to drive." I said, "Okay. So that means it's okay for me to sell your car so you can't drive. And she said, "If you can sell it, yeah, it's not worth much." I said, "I know I can sell it." Brother Josh went and got it, cleaned it up a little bit. And within a couple hours, we had it sold. She said, "Why was that a hard conversation?" I said, "Because I know it's a hard conversation. I've had it with other people." She said, "Not for me." My dad will tell you this. About 7-8 years ago, he and I sat down and I said, "Dad, while you're still doing great, just know I love you, but one day if I come to you and say, 'We need your driver's license,' know then I love you, and we've already talked about this. But I promise I won't come to you till it's necessary." He said, "I won't like it then, but I understand." He's 82 years old, still driving and having a good time, talking about buying a new truck. Amen? I'm for it. As long as he can do it, let's do it. But the day may come where I might have to have an uncomfortable conversation with him. Somebody's got to have those decisions, don't they? Solomon was trying to protect his mom. "I don't hate Miss Wally. I just don't want to get hit by her if she's driving." No, she just needed protected. She needed to know it was okay, that she didn't have to do everything herself. That we were there to help her as her church family, amen? And good night. She's got Her calendar is busier than mine at times. I don't know how many times she went out. I think you were out almost every day this week. Y'all are keeping her busy. Knock it off. She snores too loud. But you just gotta have somebody to protect you. These evil men used an older widow lady to try to get what they wanted to destroy the king. It is criminal that people will use old people and try to take them. It's criminal. People like that need horsewhipped. Beat within an inch of their life, let them heal up and do it again just for good measure. I've got no use for somebody that will take advantage of an older person. None. Zero. And by the way, I think it's criminal with our medical system that they're keeping people away from their families when they're sick. Trust me, I think it's criminal. Well, it's for everybody's protection. There are more people dying because of it, I promise you. We need to protect our older folks, especially the widows and widowers. In our church, let's protect them. Let's not take advantage of them. By the way, thank God for many of the people in this church when we were working on Wally's house. You donated your time, and some of you even donated everything that needed done. And I mean, there's men in this room, you took a loss to help Wally because you loved her and you wanted to take care of her. That's what God's talking about here, not people that want to take advantage of people. Let me say something to you. I was going to say those of you that have gray hair, but I'm one of those. those of you that are older and getting longer into your senior years. Often, the older you get, the less you perceive things as you once did. Your perceiver is not as good as it used to be, just so you know. And I'm not saying that you're off your game, but the older you get, the less you see it quite in reality because it's skewed by a lot of years and a lot of pain. You tend not to stay up with the current things as much. And don't understand the current world, you still kind of wish you were back on the farm when you were a kid. And try to view life a little bit more that way than in the reality of today. I'm not saying it's bad, but just realize that's what you do. And sometimes you need to trust somebody a little younger who you've earned their trust with so that they can help you make decisions. And if they say, that's not a good idea, maybe you ought to step back and listen. I am not asking for the power to make decisions in your life, but sometimes God gives the man of God a little bit of sense because he helped an awful lot of people. Maybe before you go spend a whole bunch of money in this wonderful investment that somebody came to you after your spouse died, you ought to ask somebody their advice. There's a lot of people out there trying to take your bank account. Everybody doing all right? Before you answer everything that they send you about Medicare that isn't Medicare related, maybe you ought to get some advice. Everybody doing okay? I'm trying to help you. Not every insurance person out there has your best interest at heart. They have theirs at heart. Not every investor out there has your bank account at heart. They have their bank account at heart. I'm not saying they're all bad. What I'm saying is get good advice. I love you. Number three. This one's going to hurt. Solomon did not give in to his own mom to grant an evil request. Solomon didn't give in to his own mom to grant an evil request. Be careful as a parent not to ask your grown children to participate in evil. You may not even know you've done it. Bathsheba didn't. But I've been around. Older folks, and they'll say, you make sure when I die, your brother doesn't get this. Well, let me tell you something. When my mom passed away, and when someday, if the Lord doesn't come back before my dad passes away, my brother can have anything he wants. We're not going to fight over it. Everybody doing okay? Things aren't that important. The memory of people is more important to me than anything. Maybe instead of fighting about things, we ought to give the other what they want. But be careful we don't ask our children, our grown children, to do evil things. Maybe there's a divorce situation. Be careful you don't pit your children against parents and step-parents that are theirs. By the way, quit trying to compete with them. Just love the kids. Let them grow up and love you. I am not going to protect my parents and my wife's family by doing wrong. Doing wrong does not protect them. Everybody doing okay? Even if they ask me to, I'm not going to do it. I'm to honor my parents by expanding the good they taught me, not granting a request for wrong. My son-in-law, this is their first Mother's Day without Sarah. They've had a tough weekend. Megan drove back from college. Nicole came from a different part of the state. Of course, Michael and Mindy are there, and then there's 12-year-old Caitlin without a mama. They had a big party yesterday. Big shindig, and Nathan was smoking ribs. Called and got my advice on what to buy and how to do it and this, that, and the other thing. Michael this week had called my wife. And he said, Mom, I want to do something. You're the only mom I got left. I want to do something nice for you for Mother's Day. Bless his heart, he did real good. First thing he did this morning is he woke up and he called my wife to wish her a happy Mother's Day. First thing he did this morning. Then he bought a dozen roses, and he and Mindy on the way to church stopped, and they stopped at Sarah's grave, and they put those roses at the grave. He sent me a picture. And I said, Son, I'm very proud of you. You're doing well. Now, because he and I are going through our first Mother's Day, both of us lost our mama this year. I understand how he feels. And I said, Michael, you want to honor your mom? He said, yeah. I said, now you have to take what she taught you and live it. Let her live through your life. Make your life an honor to her. Isn't that what that is? I'm letting my mom's life live through me. The things that she taught me, I will let live through me. I was teaching in my couples class this morning, and they don't know this, but one of the things I taught this morning is something my mom sat down and taught me one day. I'll teach many things to our couples that my mom taught me. Say why? Because they were valuable to me. And I will let her live through the teaching in my life. Isn't that a good way to honor somebody? Oh, you can put up a memorial. You can do this. You can do that. How about you take what they taught you and live it as a memorial? Make it a living memorial. Let's not ask our children to do wrong. Let's give them something good by which they can live. But be careful you don't ask people to do wrong things. And if they say, that's not a good request, say, oh, I didn't know that. And don't ask it again. Our board. Men on our board are great men. Most of them, several of them, they're older than I. And that's pretty old. But we've got several younger men, but several of the men on the board are older than I am. They are very good about me presenting ideas and us talking through those ideas. And sometimes they don't always understand why, but they'll listen to my wisdom. Sometimes it's contrary to worldly wisdom and worldly business, but God's business isn't the world's business. But we come together and make decisions, and we protect each other by those things. There's times I'll run something by them in order to protect myself. And I'll say, fellas, I'm just trying to make sure we do the wisest thing here. I'm trying to protect our church. I'm trying to protect our people. I'm trying to protect even sometimes me. Just this week, something happened. And I told Mrs. Barnes, I said, I need us to bring this up in the next board meeting and take care of this. Say why? It's a protection for our church. Solomon respected his mom so much that he would not do what she asked because she didn't know she was asking for something wrong. Don't get so offended at your children that are grown. As you get older, sometimes they won't change everything for you to do it your way. I love my dad. You talk about a stubborn, tough old critter. But I love him. There's just some things he and I are going to have to agree to disagree on sometimes. You know, there's times I want to help him with his yard, but he wants it done at a certain time. And if I can't get there or somebody can't get there, he's got it done. Now, as long as he can do it, that's fine. But I'm not going to let him hurt himself to do it either. But as soon as that dew burns off, if you don't have the mower running, you're not doing it at the right time. That's okay. He wants things done his way. That's fine. It's his house. I'm not going to be critical. I can't always do everything he wants when he wants it, but I'm trying. Now, wait a minute. Don't get offended when somebody doesn't drive the route you would drive. You get all bent out of shape because somebody goes a different way. Brother Larry and I were together the other day and we were going somewhere. I knew how to get there, but I didn't know how to get there the way he knew how to get there. I'm tootling down the road. He says, turn here. I said, what? And he said, turn. And I'm already braking, you know. Say, why? He's older than me. I'm going to listen to the feller. He cut about 5 minutes out in a whole lot of traffic. Praise the Lord. Amen. He taught me something. Listen to them old fellers. They know something every once in a while. By the way, when somebody younger than you takes a stand and says, can't do that now, but we can do that this way, don't get mad at them. How about you thank God that you taught them how to stand? Some of you all mad at your kids because you taught them to be stubborn, but who do you think taught them? So much I want. Let me say this and I'll quit. Right and wrong isn't based on how you would do it. It's based on the Word of God. Right and wrong isn't based on how you do something. Right and wrong is based on the Word of God. Whether you like your steak well done or rare isn't right and wrong. It's how you prefer it. God didn't care. He just said don't eat it raw. I like it warmed up, but I like it still a little quivery in the middle, amen? Keep it just a little cool in the center. Say, oh, that's horrible, preacher. Okay, you can make it taste like my boot. I don't care. You can cook all the flavor out. I can't taste it now anyway. Who cares? 6 months, I haven't tasted or smelled anything. I can eat anything. I can even eat things I never liked. because I can't taste them. Wait a minute. But right and wrong is based on the word of God, not your preference. Not how you see it, how God sees it. Let's not become guilty of being God. I'm for spoiling moms today. I'm for spoiling mom every day. But may I say something, ladies, let us protect you. Let somebody protect you. And not always will it be somebody that's related to you that you ought to let protect you. Maybe you didn't rear your family in church and this is all new to you. And there's some baggage that goes with that. Let somebody that knows how to protect you, protect you. I'm not saying your kids are bad, but if they're looking at it through lost eyes, they're not always going to see life in reality. If we'll all stay submitted to God, it sure does make it a whole lot easier, doesn't it? Solomon and Bathsheba, a king's mom. He stood, he bowed to her, he had a seat placed for her. She asked a request of him, and he said, Mom, I'm not going to tell you no, but whoever asked you that question, they're not going to live long enough to see it granted. Because you don't know that you're being used. And Solomon took care of his mama that way. Ladies, sometimes you won't always understand that reaction, but let people take care of you.